pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football.
We're back. Second half of the show is live. Connor O'Garrell will join us in a couple of minutes. We've already talked to Kevin Blackerstone, a couple of student reporters, one more to come as we work our way around the SEC. Burke is calling from Chicago. Hello, Burke. Burke, are you there?
Hello? Maybe not.
You know what?
What's that?
I think we're moving on. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. You know, at the beginning of summer, the narrative about Tennessee football was all about Joe Milton. And, you know, I'm not really worried about Joe Milton. Paul, do you think Tennessee fan here, that our defense is going to be able to stop? I mean, not to say stop everybody every time, but is our defense going to be better than it was last year? Because I think that's the only thing.
Well, I think it could be. Yeah, I'm going to say, Will, it will be better than next year, than last year, better than next year too.
I don't think Joe Milton's the problem. I mean, we still.
No, I don't either. I like Joe Milton. Hey, thanks for the call. Let me try this Burke guy one more time. Burke, are you there?
Yes. Good afternoon, Paul. Good to talk to you. Sorry
Thank
about
you.
That false start right out of the gate, right?
Well, I mean, when we get a call from the Windy City, we don't want to waste any time.
These darn Yankees. What's with them, huh? Really turning the pot for those Southern people now, hey?
Oh, hold on a second. I feel a cool wind coming from Lake Michigan here. Keep going.
Frozen. The you got a guy by the name of Larry, and is it Bubba J? You know, Jeff Dunham's. Is that who's doing this?
You're saying Larry is like the dummy that Jeff Dunham uses, right?
Well, you ever listen to the guy? Just think about it.
Have I ever what?
That's all. You ever think about it? Listen to his
voice. No, never thought about it, because I really don't view the world like some people do up there in Chicago.
It's the inflection in the voice. That's all it really is. That's all it is. So, all right.
You know, Burke, I've spent a lot of time in Chicago, a lot of friends there. My parents live there. My father went to school there. I say all that as a preamble to – I understand the arrogance of people that live up there. I understand how you view the rest of us, especially us dumb Southerners. But you know what? We're surviving pretty well.
All right. Thank you. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah. I wish I could say the same. What is with it with people? Is there, because you were born in Chicago and you went to school at Ohio State, does that make you superior?
No, that's a D grade.
I don't know about you. I remember walking out of the stadium on New Year's Eve. Those dumb folks from Georgia were celebrating the New Year, and it was those Buckeyes who were crying in their champagne. Georgia fans were going, hey, which way is L.A.? Buckeye fans were going,
it's a long way home.
Can't believe we lost again. Oh, man. Chicago.
Windy City.
What a toddling town.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Ty is in Georgia, my kind of place.
How's it going, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Pretty good. I had a question. How do you think the Crimson Tide quarterback situation will shape up this season?
Very slowly.
Very slowly?
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything that convinces me that they have found a bona fide starting quarterback.
Yeah, I think Ty Simpson's going to end up getting the nod week two at Texas.
Well, that would be quite a gamble to put somebody in against a tough game like that who doesn't have much experience, but it may be necessary. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, might be our best option to go with. Do you think the dynasty's over for Alabama?
Well, Ty, that's a weird question, because I think in some ways the dynasty has already slowed down. And what I mean by that, what is the definition of a dynasty? It's dominance. It's success, where everyone is looking at you. And quite frankly, everyone's looking at Georgia right now, not Alabama.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Alabama would still be favored against maybe anybody else in the country.
Well, I think that's true. I think Alabama is easily one of the two or three best schools and best teams in the country right now. But the question is, I think if Nick Saban had said Saturday, "Hey, we got a quarterback. We like this guy," I think people would feel a little bit better right now. But there's just that uncertainty, and knowing that Texas has a quarterback, I think. But it's two, three weeks away from that game. It is not panic time yet. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Jay is in Mobile. Hello, Jay.
Roll Tide, Paul. How's it going today?
We are doing great.
Hey, I really enjoyed the caller yesterday from Poplarville, the guy that's opening the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic.
His call was inspiring to a lot of people dealing with terminal illnesses like cancer and all. And, Paul, it's just amazing how many people's lives you have touched through radio and TV. I've been watching you now about 3 years, and ever since I got cancer, I pretty much watch you every day. And I just want you to know I appreciate all you do, and Roll Tide.
Well, Jay, thank you for sharing that. And you know, we are blessed to have a unique forum here, and it means so much more that we not only have it, but that we utilize it correctly. And your call has inspired all of us here on the program. Thank you, and keep working at getting a little bit better every day. Jace is in Georgia. Jace, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, go Dawgs. I'm a Georgia fan, and I'm not really worried about UT Martin or Ball State, but I mean, you know, we've got some injuries right now on defense and in our backfield. And my concern is, if Kirby can get those guys healthy before South Carolina, that could be a trap game for us if we're not healthy, even though we're playing Mahomes.
Well, it could. I mean, it certainly will be advertised that way. I'm not convinced it will be, but I hear what you're saying, Jay. Thank you very, very much. Greg is up next in Georgia. Hey, Greg.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a quick question for you. I'm a Georgia fan, and I hear a lot of talk about Georgia's weak schedule, and I can't disagree with anybody about that, but correct me if I'm wrong. Georgia had Oklahoma scheduled for the first game of the season, correct?
Yeah, Greg, Georgia was supposed to go to Norman, and I think I know where you're going here. Let me try to explain it, and it may not be a great explanation, but you know, a lot of people are wondering why did Georgia have to lose that game while Alabama didn't have to undo the Texas game. The reason
the reason,
as explained to me, I don't make these decisions, is that Alabama had already played at Texas last year. The return game this year. Georgia was playing at Norman this year, and I think the return game was many years from now while Oklahoma would be in the SEC. I don't know why they couldn't have just said, you know what, play the game, what difference does it make in 2032 or 2029 or whenever it is, but that was not the decision they made, and Georgia ended up getting hurt from it very badly.
Well, I can't disagree with the week schedule, but you know, as a Georgia fan, we would certainly welcome playing Oklahoma because it would add some spice to the schedule.
Oh, absolutely! No, it would be. I will get you a. I mean, I gave you the loose version of the explanation. I'll try to get a more specific version why they couldn't. Obviously, it came down to the conference's decision, and I've never heard it explained more than the way I gave it to you, which, quite frankly, doesn't really satisfy me. We'll do better than that. Connor O'Gara will join us next. He is a columnist and podcaster at Saturday Down South. He'll be with us with his 25 bold predictions.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Pretty much done with list seasons. That didn't stop Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South from doing another one. And who is this now? Oh, this is Chris Marler. He did the top 10 quarterbacks in the SEC. He had Jaden way down there at 4. Milroe, 10th. Rattler 8th, Milton ahead of all of them. So I, a lot of times, it's hard to separate some of these guys. We tried to get Marler on, he turned us down, so we ended up with Connor O'Gara, who joins us now.
I'm the backup to Marler. I got to defend his rankings. Is that how this works?
No, we're just kidding. You guys originally had a podcast years ago, and I did it, and I thought you were the two biggest goobers I'd ever met, and that's the only, and are you still doing that podcast?
We are not doing that version of that podcast. We have divided and conquered within the SDS walls, and we've been able to do some great things over the last couple of years. But no, I mean, you were probably our favorite guest that we ever had on that iteration of the podcast, wherein you thought we were goobers. Here we were thinking, wow, we just had Paul Feinbaum on the podcast.
The
major
story
get.
Of John Hayes, who used to be our producer, he said, you got to do it. These two guys are really cool. They're really hot podcast. So I go, okay, John, whatever. I thought it would be Barstool-esque, and it was like from outer space.
Okay, I've been called worse than that before. Look, I think we've made up for it though. That's the good thing. I think that your visits on all SDS airwaves over the course of the last 3-4 years, that was 2018. So that's 5 years ago. That's ancient history. I think your appearances since then have made up for it, and any sort of impressions you might have had of us have changed, or maybe they haven't. Who knows?
I never get over the first impression. Anyway, let's talk about what your 25 bowl predictions, Connor. We're, of course, kidding with Connor. We're not serious. So you made a number of predictions, and I think we're going to isolate a few of them, are we not? First one is about LSU. Two losses by the end of September. I quoted you the other day to a caller, and he was very upset about this. Two losses by the end of September?
Think about this. And look, I'm one of those people that can admit I was dead wrong about what year one of the Brian Kelly era looked like. So take this with a grain of salt. If anything else, you fans, you should be happy that I'm saying that this is going to be the September to forget for LSU. But like last year, I had them predicted to go 7-5 overall, 3-5 in SEC play. I looked back at my crystal ball and I had only predicted 4 of their 12 games correctly. It's pretty bad. So if I'm going to miss on anyone, I guess it's LSU. I think they lose the opener to Florida State and another thriller down here in my neck of the woods in Orlando. I'm excited for that one on that Sunday night. And then I think they lose that game at Ole Miss. Think about this. They start off with 4 games against Power 5 teams that had winning records last year, 3 of which are away from the friendly confines of Baton Rouge. I worry about that. And I worry about that 5th game after they've had a really difficult start to the schedule where they can't really ease into it. And all of a sudden, week 5, you got to go to Oxford. You got to tackle Quinshon Judkins. I don't know that that front 7, as loaded as it is going to be up for the challenge in that matchup when they have some really difficult games to start off this season. And while I think LSU still has a great
they're back.
Season.
I just got back from media days like you did, and that's all I heard was they beat Nick Saban last year. Brian Kelly has eclipsed the GOAT. They're top 5 team, and I was starting to believe it until I read your column this week.
Well, I was starting to believe it, too, until I watched them get whooped at Texas A&M in the regular season finale and ruin their playoff chances last year. But I also have them beating Alabama in consecutive years. I have them going into Tuscaloosa and winning that football game. And I'll go even more bold for you. I think Jaden Daniels suffers an early injury in that game. And I'm not wishing injury upon anyone, so don't get it twisted. That's not what I'm saying. My bold prediction is that I think Jaden Daniels gets hurt in the early part of that game. Garrett Nussmeier comes in. Bama's scrambling, trying to figure out a way to slow down the gunslinging LSU quarterback, and he leads them to a victory in Tuscaloosa, and LSU becomes the first team to beat Bama in consecutive years since a certain Hugh Freeze did that at Ole Miss 2014-2015.
You've been inhaling some magic mushrooms with that take. Let's continue with some more bold takes. Florida State beats Florida. Florida State beats LSU, but LSU beats Alabama. And this is your next one. Florida ends the regular season over FSU.
Yes, Florida ends the regular season with a win against Florida State. Gets a little bit of revenge for last year. Here's what I keep thinking about. This game last year where Florida goes into that game in Tallahassee, Florida State is rolling. I mean, just on an absolute tear. Florida has like one healthy scholarship receiver in Ricky Pearsall, just running around all over the place, trying to make plays. And Anthony Richardson went 36 minutes of game time without a completion. Not without a touchdown, not without a first down, without a completion. And they lost that game by a touchdown. That's it. They got to go to the swamp this year. I think that's one of those games where Billy Napier just kind of throws it all out there and says, you know what? Let's just let them have it. And this ends up being a matchup that Florida really gets up for. That offensive line makes some significant strides. That ground game, which should be one of the best ground games in the SEC with Montrell Johnson and Trevor Etienne. I think they really get going down the stretch in a game that everybody has penciled in as, Florida State's going to have playoff chances going into the ACC championship. They lose to Florida. They stub their toe against their rival in the regular season finale.
Okay, Connor O'Gara with 2 outrageous predictions so far. Let's get to the next one. And this is really not that outrageous, but you don't think anyone loses their job in the SEC, and I'm not really sure who's even in contention.
Well, if you ask a lot of people, they'll tell you Jimbo Fisher is in contention. And I would point to 76.8 million reasons why he's not going to be fired. People say Billy Napier is on the hot seat. I think he's got 31 million reasons why he won't be fired. You can look up and down this conference, which is now loaded with coaches that are making $9 million annually. You realize that half of the conference has coaches making $9 million annually. I'm old enough to remember when Nick Saban making $4 million a year was a travesty and the sport was ruined. And here we are in the year 2023, wherein these buyouts are insurmountable. And you're looking at this going, man, who's going to be willing to actually pay that coach not to work? The richest buyout that's ever been paid to a head coach, Gus Malzahn, $21.5 million at the end of the 2020 season. I don't see any coaches that are in jeopardy like that. Like even Eli Drinkwitz on the hot seat, or people are like, okay, well, tell me about his $20 million buyout that Mizzou is going to pay at the end of this year after he just agreed to an extension late last year. I'm just not a believer that any head coach is really in that position. And for everybody saying, oh, there's all this pressure on Jimbo Fisher, tell me that A&M is going to pay $76.8 million when they're dealing with their own issues internally among, you know, within that athletic department in terms of debt. And I understand boosters, but to me, that's just an absurd thing to say.
Connor O'Gara, another hot take. South Carolina finishes second in the SEC East. Whoa. Explain.
Well, I've already said this on your airwaves before, so I'll repeat myself a little bit on this one. But I think there are a lot of teams in the East outside of Georgia who have flaws. I think Georgia obviously is winning the division. And then you look at everybody else and you're trying to figure out, is it going to be Tennessee again? Is it going to be Kentucky? Could it be South Carolina? Maybe Florida sneaks up. Maybe Mizzou with the highest percentage of returning production in that division. Maybe they come back and have one of these, you know, out of nowhere, how do you like me now seasons. I think that it ends up being South Carolina because for all their flaws, they still find a way to overcome those issues. And there's a reason why Shane Beamer has won as a double-digit underdog four times already since he's been at South Carolina. He's won as an outright underdog seven times, seven of his 15 victories. That's what they do. Despite the fact that we feel like we have questions about what they're going to look like in the trenches, does Spencer Rattler take another step with Dow Loggins? Can they actually be that week-to-week consistent team that Shane Beamer has been desperately wanting to see? I think they have the ability to just catch a team off guard in a given week. And I think even if they end up going 4-4 in SEC play, they can go 8-4 overall, win both of those bookend non-conference games and end up at 8-4 overall with a 4-4 record in SEC play.
Okay, final one. And this will make everyone happy, I'm sure, especially in Athens, Georgia. The Dogs do not three-peat.
I think Georgia's going into the locker room of the national championship with a 10-point lead. I think they're looking up. They're thinking, we're about to three-peat. We got Ohio State right where we want them. We're about to join 1936 Minnesota. We're about to move past the great Ed Widseth, who was the leader of that great 1936 Minnesota team. And we're about to stand on a platform by ourselves. And then don't you know it, I think the play calling that Georgia fans have been saying is not going to be an issue in the post-Todd Monken era, I think it becomes an issue with Mike Bobo. And I think three and out in the second half of that football game, and Ohio State gets its revenge against Georgia, a Georgia team that it played obviously down to the wire with, a team that it probably should have beat last year, different circumstances this year. But I think Georgia comes that close to three-peating and is ultimately not able to get it done.
There you go. Connor O'Gara, if you want to read the other 20, you can go to his column at Saturday Down South. I've already read it, and I refuse to read any more of this guy. Connor, all kidding aside, we love you. Thanks so much for being on.
Thanks, Paul.
Connor O'Gara, making everyone uncomfortable and unhappy here on a Tuesday afternoon. We'll take a short break. More to come right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back here on a Tuesday afternoon, and Bubba is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
What's shaking, Paul?
Bub.
What's going on, Randy? Woo! Hey, I don't want to have to drive to Charlotte and pull Larry off of Randy down here one day. You keep Larry off of him.
That could that will not. First of all, Randy will Larry will never get near Randy.
No. After about six Modelo,
there's a better chance of him tripping over his oxygen tent and dying than there would have of him actually.
Yeah, I don't want him to fall on his Modelo bottle and hurt himself. I bet he'd still like to give Randy a screen test, though, don't you?
I think he'd love it.
So, yeah, that's the only way he could get him. But I got a question for you. I keep hearing about how bad Nick Saban is slipping. Do you ever know in the history of his coaching career up till now if he's ever had this stiff a competition to face as he does right now?
Yes, I can think of 2 years where he did, when he was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about
I mean, even at Michigan State, I mean, he basically Ohio State was the team he had to beat.
Okay, you've got Steve Sarkisian, Kirby Smart, Jimbo Fisher, Lane Kiffin. I mean, this is some of his top competition he's facing
right now.
This
is a little more difficult than Derek Dooley, Will Muschamp.
Yes.
Houston Nutt.
Then you throw in a Josh Heupel, a Brian Kelly, a Hugh Freeze. Yeah. This is not getting easier.
It is not.
And but people need to get off his back. Nick's still Nick. You better not count him out. He may be standing there with a national championship trophy at the end of the year. You know, I wouldn't bet against the man.
Well, it's not like he's been predicted to finish 25th. He's preseason third in one poll and fourth in the other.
Exactly, and everybody acts like it's the end of the world. I mean, Bama goes 10-2 last year, and it's a disaster. Tennessee, we went 10-2, and everybody's throwing parties. But that tells you the difference in where
the biggest difference is now. That Tennessee beat Alabama.
Well, absolutely. And they have a chance to beat them again. I mean, but that's where the competition has stepped up to the plate. Nick hasn't slipped. He just hasn't. But I'm telling you, the competition is coming and coming hard. And the NIL and the transfer portal has helped spread some of the talent around. It's not as easy as it was. I'm not saying it was easy to do what Nick did when he did it. It was not. But I'm saying that the other schools have a better chance of obtaining to getting to that level now than they did then.
No, well, Bubba, you know, the portal, the NIL, and the biggest thing you said was better coaches. I mean, if you go back 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, he had to beat Urban Meyer. Now you just listed a murderer's row of coaches that he has to deal with every year. Glenn is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I kind of agree with Bubba. Saban, I mean, he's slacking, but I think as long as he's there, we always got a good chance of winning a national championship. But also wanted to mention, I got a story about Aunt Betts. I used to travel with a best friend of mine and his daddy in a camper going to Florida. And one late night, I had to use the bathroom. So I went in the woods and took a dump and got back in the truck, and ants was just biting me all over. And I had to go in the back of the camper and strip my clothes off and change clothes. So I've had some real hard times with ant beds.
Well, that's quite a story there, Glenn. That's what kind of ants were they?
They were red ants.
Red. You said you had the red what? Oh, the red ants. I'm sorry. Okay, gotcha. Did I need to hear that story?
No.
Wow.
But we heard it.
You always have to look first. Chris is in Arkansas. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing tonight?
Very well.
Just a question and a comment, if you don't mind. I know it's early in the season. I know we're not even started yet. But what when Arkansas going up against some Alabama and LSU, do you see them being able to hold better this year against them? Or
I expect a much better season from Arkansas. Now, their schedule is still obscene for whatever reason. And I think they have to – you know, I felt like last year they got off to a good start and then they let it slip away. And, you know, that LSU game early, A&M and Ole Miss, I mean, that is Alabama. I mean, that is where the season will be won or lost. And you know, what's Arkansas's best shot at getting through that? And I think that's really going to tell you what they're going to do. And then, you know, I think they could win at Florida, and then they literally have to win out because they're not going to get through LSU, A&M, Ole Miss, and Alabama in great shape.
Right, and also, Paul, want to send a rest in peace out to Mr. Alex Collins.
Yeah, that's so sad. Thank you for mentioning that. We talked about it a little while ago, and one school has really been dealt some terrible tragedy, and the families of the Collins, we certainly continue to think of all of you. Thank you very much. Ryan is in College Station. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Happy talking season.
Thank you.
First of all, I wanted to say this time of the year reminds me about Tammy at Auburn and how much I've enjoyed listening to her phone calls, and she's dearly missed even here in College Station. We appreciate it all that she contributed to your show.
Thank you.
I did have a question, though, about conference realignment. Ironically, I think that Arkansas leaving the Southwest Conference kind of killed it. When A&M and Missouri left to go to the SEC, I think that probably killed the Big 12. My question is, if Texas Tech and Oklahoma State saw that and decided to go to the Pac-12, could that have saved the current Pac-12 in its existence? And I'll hang up and listen. Enjoy your program.
Thank you, Ryan.
Have a great year, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think either would have been strong enough to significantly alter their television deal. Those are good schools, but I don't see a network coming in and saying, you know what, we're going to completely double our money because of Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. Thanks for the call. We head to the break. We still have one more guest. It's been a busy afternoon, and we continue right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are not done after our program in an hour. SEC Now continues at 7 p.m. Expired is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Super. Hey, that guy that called from Minnesota a while ago that's coming to Kyle Field to watch the Alabama game, I wanted to give him a few.
Yeah, help him out.
I'm going to help him out. First of all, he probably needs to go to Midnight Yell the night before.
That's right, of course.
To, to see that. I think he would really enjoy that. He probably needs a frequent down Northgate. You know, go to Dixie Chicken, which is one of the bars there, get him a hamburger, look at the Rattlesnake, drink him a Lone Star Light, and then maybe hop over to the shot bar next. And then after that, I'd be willing to invite him to our tailgate that we're going to have that day. There's probably not going to be much food there, but there'll be a lot of drinks, and we'd love for him to join us and have a good time. And then we're going to upset Alabama. Really, it won't be by then. It won't be an upset because people are going to realize, just like that little young man that called yesterday that spoke so greatly about A&M and all the players that they do have. We're going to kick Alabama's booty. You can mark that down, write it in cursive, and put it in bold print with permanent marker, Paul. I just want to let you know that. And, you know, one other thing I want to tell you, that call yesterday by I-Man, that was the dumbest call ever. I mean, and I just, him and Jim, I don't understand it. I don't really care to understand it. That was a horrible call. And I-Man, you continue to suck. Since you want to know exactly how people feel, your calls suck. Hey, Paul, you have a great day. Giggle.
Wow, that was it's a good call because when I was talking to the gentleman a few minutes ago, I forgot about Midnight Yell, which is essential. It is unlike anything anyone has ever done. Jim?
No, it wasn't a good call, Paul. That really pisses me off. You got these new fools, is what they are, dumbass fools. You know nothing about nothing. I'm not going to mention anything else. But you're a dumbass idiot like the rest of these new fools, like Doug. Doug is I almost said a cuss word. These people make me so mad, Paul. They don't know a thing about the show. They know nothing about me. They don't know nothing about my age. They're talking about my mother and daddy being 100 years old. That better watch what he says about me and my.
Yeah, he said one of those words you can't say.
He said he wasn't going to cuss.
But in fairness, he was defending the honor of his parents. So I was not personally offended by it. The censors were. I would have let it go. What can I do? Gary is in Louisiana. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul, I want to thank you. You just made my bucket list. I can scratch you off now. I finally got through to you.
Well, that is great. Thank you very much.
And I got a comment and then a question. But first comment, is that goofball Earl up there in Colorado talking about changing the Tiger's name?
Yeah.
He needs to stay up there in Buffalo with Dion is what he needs to do. Now, my other question is, Alabama and LSU, we both know they're going to be tough. But don't you think A&M's a sleeper?
I do. I completely agree with you on that. I think they have a chance for a breakout season, and they need a breakout season after last year. But they have a quarterback. They have a lot of things, to me, that sets them up.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, they put a whooping on us last year. I hope I'm wrong. And as far as I'm concerned with Brian Kelly, he's already exceeded more than I ever dreamed. But I thank you for the call.
Well, thank you very much. You be well. Travis is in Kentucky. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to ask you, see what you think about the Alabama-Kentucky game this year?
Travis, I think it's a dangerous game. Now, some of my Alabama brethren do not agree with me, but it's about a couple of things. The schedule, where it is on the schedule. It comes after the LSU game. It's in November. I've been to Kentucky in November. It can be very cold. It can be windy. It can be nasty. And that always favors the underdog. So we have the schedule up. It is 1 week after LSU, which is going to be a very difficult game, an emotional game. And I think Kentucky will be very good with Devin Leary this year and Liam Cohen back and a number of things.
Yes, and one more thing I wanted to ask you. What would it take for Kentucky to get into the playoffs this year?
Well, it would take a lot. It would take getting to the SEC championship game, which would mean probably a win over Georgia.
Okay. Okay, Paul, and that's all I had, and thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate
now,
it.
Now, there are a lot of combinations of things that could happen, but beating Alabama wouldn't hurt either, but you can't really you can't drop too many. I mean, have we had a two-loss team in the playoffs? I don't think so.
No.
So Auburn almost did it, but it's virtually difficult. It's virtually impossible, or it has been so far. Fred is up next. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hey, Fred.
Hey, nice to meet you. It's nice to talk to you, Paul. Finally, Lord, out of all the world, all the days in the world.
Well, that's great.
So I just want to ask you, Big Paul, I just want to ask you, what do you think about Auburn this year? How do you think they might turn out this year compared to last year when they had this, you know, all the things that went on, and then we got a transition from old coach to a new coach? But in your perspective, how do you think they might turn out this year?
Fred, I feel great about Auburn. Hugh Freeze has really been a phenomenal turnaround in relation to what Auburn was doing. I think it's going to be hard to get more than 7 wins. Maybe, I mean, 8 if you absolutely squeeze the turnip. But I think 7 wins in a bowl game would be a great start for Hugh Freeze. I hate to run. We're up against the break. But thank you very much, Fred, for calling. We have another hour to go. We'll include one more student reporter as we do our back-to-school segments all week long and more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.